One more big hand clap for the Lord. And then before you're seated again, just say hi to somebody that you haven't said hi to. Andy, thank you so much this morning. That was absolutely beautiful. You know, Andy's so cool up here, isn't he? I look over at him and I say, Andy, thank you so much. And he kind of gives me that smile. He goes, just not a problem. And his voice is just beautiful. You did that wonderful today. And the flag up back here, isn't that just beautiful today? And helps us to remember. Never take for granted what you have. I know there's a lot of voices that would want to. And, you know, America, its history, its present, it's not all perfect. It's not all, everything isn't all right, and everything hasn't been done all right. But tell that to the moms and the dads. They had to get that message. Say your son, your daughter is not coming home. Tell that to them, because they see it in a whole different way. And I'll never forget the day that my family got that message home. That's why you'll never talk me into desecrating that. You never talk me into, oh, America is so terrible. It's done terrible. It's had people in leadership that have done terrible. But the men and women that have gone for a cause that is greater than anything any other country on the face of the earth has had, those men and women, they died for you. They died for me. They died so that we could be in this country and live free today. So because of that, amen. Never forget that. We are privileged people. You go to any other nation in the world, and I've been to several of them, there's no place like America. And as much as people want to talk negatively about it, America is the envy around the world. You go to another country, people want to come here because they know they'll come and they'll know they'll be blessed and they'll be loved and they'll be helped and cared for. And they know they'll have opportunity like they've never had before. And for that, I'm grateful today. I've had to work real hard to keep it together. When I see that video up there, I remember those days. And I will never forget that. And don't you forget it either. This week, make a trip. Pull through a cemetery. Look at those flags that are covered across that graveyard. Those are people that served so you and I could live and be free. Some died in battle. Some died after they got home, but they still lived in a battle all the days of their lives. And we need to be grateful and very thankful for that. God help me right now, because I could just fall up in a pile right here. But I'm going to press through on this morning. Somebody say, help them. Help them, Lord. And I thank God for our Batavia police officer who's here today. Make sure you tell him how much you appreciate him on the way out. He's not there to scare anybody. He's there to keep every one of us safe. And I'm grateful for that. I don't know, he might scare some of you. He scared me a little bit when I first saw him this morning. But then I got free of it. Can I just say this one more little plug about Thursday night? Pastor Dino Rizzo, I have heard of him years ago, followed him, watched his messages on YouTube. Love this guy. He's in the top tier of my favorite communicators, period. And I've worked on trying to get him to come here for 3 years because he speaks in the largest churches in America and in the world. And he's a very humble man, just a beautiful person, an incredible communicator, incredible. He will have you smiling, crying. He will have you thankful. He will be an incredible blessing. He will be here Thursday night, And again, this just didn't happen. I actually made a trip to Birmingham to meet with him, and I've pulled every string that I could pull. He's great friends with the Barnetts, and when I told him I was, I think that opened the door a little bit more, but he's going to be a great blessing. I want to encourage you to be here Thursday night. You will meet a man who is incredibly humble, incredibly gifted and anointed. He's not only the executive director of this organization called ARC, which has planted hundreds of churches now, but he is also one of the pastors at Church of the Highlands, which is one of the fastest it's been, one of the greatest, largest, and fastest growing churches in America for years. They have 20 campuses that when the pastor, Pastor Chris Hodges, preaches, gets up, these great big video screens drop down. They have their own worship team. They have a campus pastor. And then when it's time for the message, a video screen comes down, and his message live is broadcast into 20 different campuses around the state of Alabama, and I think in 20 prisons beyond that as well. You know, when I heard that, I just want you all to pray, because I don't know how it would work, but I would love that opportunity to have our Sunday messages broadcast in a prison, in a jail somewhere. I don't know how that, I haven't talked to anybody about it. I'm just throwing it out there to you and for you to pray about. I just think it would be really incredible. People that are in prison, you know, I always say that people that land in jail, they've done something to get there. But that doesn't mean that you're bad. Your pastor spent a night in jail when I was a kid. Doesn't mean I'm bad, or it doesn't mean if any one of you had that you're bad, made a mistake. But the only thing that can help you and I out of our mistakes is the power of Jesus. And he will lift you up higher, he will help you, and he will erase the effects of the mistakes that you have made in your life if you'll trust him. And so that's why I just think that at some point, I just think that would be incredible. And who knows, maybe this Thursday, maybe it'll be a tipping point for something like that great to happen. Maybe it'll happen in your life. Maybe God will use this week. And I want you all to pray for this Thursday, whether or not you are able to be here or not. I want you to pray for this Thursday. On Friday, he's going to be here and speak to pastors and leaders. We have over 50 that are coming from around the region, coming right here. And he will be speaking to them, encouraging them, and imparting into them. So if you would take some time this week to pray for Thursday and Friday, it will be a great moment. It's going to be a great time for the City Church, for the city of Batavia, and for this entire region. Will you do that with me this week? Great. Lord, just for the next few minutes, I pray that you would pour out of your Spirit upon each and every person here, Lord. Lord, lift everyone, I pray, help us to be who you have called us to be and not another. I ask you to do now what no one else can do, only you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. And everybody said amen. You know, and again on the announcements, when the ladies were up there talking about the clothing connection, what an incredible outreach that is that happens at many people don't even know that we have, but in a portion of the basement here, which is big, there is an area full of beautiful clothing, shoes, and anything. They have pots, pans, utensils, all kinds of stuff that we give out on a regular basis. And these little ladies that serve in there, they are just amazing. Same with our food pantry that's right across the driveway in the Generation Center twice a week. They're feeding 500 to 700 people a month out of there, and that's happening because you're helping. When you give, you help somebody else to have food, to have clothes that maybe have nothing. So it's an incredible thing that's happening, and I believe because we do that, that this church will always be blessed, always. Come on, do you believe that with me today? Yeah. Well, you know, you and I are better when we gather in God's house. We're better when we come together, when we pray, when we worship, when we hear his word. We're better because of that. And God has something great for you and I as individuals to help us to be the person that God has called us to be. You're moving, you and I are moving into the next phase in our lives, the next season of our lives. We're in a new season again in our lives. God, I really feel like he wants you and I maybe to recalibrate, to refocus, to become who you are, not to become what somebody else thinks you should be or somebody they think you ought to act this way or be this way. And I got to tell you here, as I was pondering this morning, as we were in worship and I was just meditating before the Lord, I have been so guilty as an individual of so caught up in what I think somebody else wants me to be like, whether it's the way I, what I do, what I drive, the clothes I wear. Thank you for not getting all uptight with me wearing jeans today and my Adidas sneakers. Come on today. I got them here. And my new Soxy Socks, they're called. You know, and I know there's probably some people that are like, well, I think you should wear a suit every day. And I love wearing a suit. I wore two different suits yesterday. I did a funeral in the morning, and I participated in a wedding later on in the day. I just said, you know what, today it's Memorial Day weekend. I might take in a turkey burger later on today somewhere. You know, who knows? But, you know, again, becoming me is not becoming what somebody else thinks that I should do or dress like or be like. It's becoming who God thinks I ought to be. And that doesn't mean that we need to be void of influences in our lives. You and I need great people in our lives to speak into our lives, to help us to be that person, to be better. And if somebody is encouraging you, not controlling you, if somebody's encouraging you to be better and to be the person that you are called to be, listen, hear this right now. We need those positive influences in our lives. If you're getting ready to make a life decision, don't do it on your own. Get people that you know love you and believe the best for you to have influence in your life. So if I had a nickel for everyone that has told me in life, so I don't care what anybody says, I'm going to do what I want to do when I do it. That's not what I'm talking to. If you're that person, you're headed, you are careering out of control down a slope into an abyss that is going to bring pain and hurt to you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about when I say that? Come on. But God has this plan for your life that you can take influences from people in your life and let it help mold you into becoming the person that you are called and created to be. You're called to be the best you. And sometimes you need some coaxing in that area. Sometimes you need some influence in that area of becoming what you need to be or what you can be. But that doesn't mean that we just turn off every voice around us, but it means that we allow it to help shape us and form us. You know, I didn't have much of a dad in my life. He was gone really out of my life at 11. He was dead when I was 13. But those years up to that, he was abusive and his influence in my life was very negative, very harmful. And so for years I lived my life like I was independent. My mom gone when I was 17. You know, I must have put my mother and father-in-law through pure hell because there were times in my life I'd be that person. You know, nobody's going to tell me what to do. My dad's been out of my life since 11. My mom since 17. And somebody's going to start telling me what to do? And nothing could be further from the truth because I needed people in my life to help me. I needed people in my life. But those people in my life, some were pure in it and some were not pure. Some really helped fold my life into the direction that it was supposed to be. And others, they tried to take that away. And you have to ask God to help you to understand who are the people in your life that are really helping you to go and to be who you are called to be, who God has made you to be. And I tell you, I want to be around people that are going to believe the best in me. I want to be around people that are going to tell me things like, you can do this. You got this. You're better than that. You can go further than that. That's the kind of people that I want to be around. I had he's a pastor friend of mine. He actually resigned his church a little over a year ago, and he's just a brilliant man. He's a part of a denomination, and he told me, I was meeting with him a few weeks ago. He asked me to be a part of his life, and he said when he met his area representative of the denomination that he told the man that he wanted to start a regional prayer outreach for other pastors to become a part in. And this person, who is the lead in this regional denomination, said, wait a minute right there. He said, you can't have a vision bigger than mine. He told me that, and he's looking at me, and he said, I knew I was in trouble right there. Let me say something to you. You can have a vision bigger than mine. You can have a vision bigger than anybody else around you. God has called you to dream big and beyond anything that you can even imagine. He wants to do things in and through you beyond and above what you could even ask or think. And people cannot put a limit on that. God says, take the limits off. Ask me large. I'll do things that you never thought possible to happen in your life. That's the kind of influence you want to have in your life. So I just want to talk about this just for a few moments, and we're going to take communion together. But I talked about this last week, that your mind, the way you think, has to be engaged first. Proverbs 23 says, as a man thinks in his heart, that's what he is. If you begin to think about loving others, you will. If you begin to think about forgiving others, you will. If you begin to think, I could go on that Los Angeles Dream Center missions trip, guess what? You will engage a mechanism in your life that begins to come together, and you will see the reality of that. If you begin to think, I could have a successful home, a successful marriage, I could have a successful business, you will begin to engage that process for the reality of that to happen in your life. And you will become who you are called to be. Philippians 4:8, it's not up on the screen. Paul says, whatever is noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, anything that's excellent or praiseworthy. He said, think, focus, get your mind on these things. Because if it's only on the other things, it'll pull you back. And so you and I, we have to make some decisions. We gotta engage in a process that are obvious in our lives. For some of us, we have to move on from some old history in our lives. And sometimes you gotta hit that button on the computer of your life that says clear history and hit it, because you're carrying around stuff that is absolutely useless to you or anyone else, but you haven't let them go. And you got to let it go. You got to move on from that old stuff. You got to move on from the old history. Isaiah 43, he says, forget the former things. You got to let it go. Don't dwell on the past. He said, I'm doing something new. It's springing up. Can't you see it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in a wasteland. The song that they sang this morning, you make a way where there seems to be no way. That's the God that we serve today. And some of you, you can't see it. You can't believe it because you haven't been there yet. And that's the beautiful thing about faith, that you have to believe that God is going to take you and do something in you that you have not seen before. And you can't do it on your own. You have to have God help you do that. For some, we've got to move on from some old habits in our lives. And sometimes, again, it's hard to believe that you can do that because you can't see yourself in any other way. And God wants to give you a new picture of your life. He wants to give you a new snapshot of your life so that you can see something much better and much greater than who you ever thought you could be. You got to see yourself strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You got to see yourself being free from some of the negative habits that are just pulling you down. You got to see yourself when you are put in that position to make that negative, harmful decision that harms your life and brings you down. You have to see yourself saying, no, not this time. I am moving on to higher ground. You got to see yourself doing that. And some people, you've picked up some bad habits just because of the people that you've been hanging around. My mom used to tell me, and I hated it when she said, I know what you've been doing by the people that you've been associating with. Hate it when she was right like that. James 5:16 says to confess your sin to one another and pray for one another that you can be healed. Got to get around some people that will help you to move away from those old habits in your life and begin to make good ones. And then for some, we got to move on from old hurts. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has begun. The old is gone, the new is here. All is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And to be reconciled means that he's brought everything in your life right down to zero, that you can start brand new right where you are. And instead of creating or keeping a list of wrongs that people have done to you or about you, that every time you see somebody, you go back to what they did 10, 15, 20. I talk to people all the time. Sometimes now people are saying things like, well, I remember them 40 years ago. And I just want to stop a minute and say, really? You're keeping a tab on what somebody said or did about you or to you 40 years ago? When Jesus has come into your life and he's wiped your slate clean, he's forgiven you of all of your sin. While you were even in your sin, the Bible says that Christ died for you. And he said to love one another as I have loved you. Come on, my brothers and sisters. Some of you got to move on from the old hurts in your life. Because if you keep on rereading the last chapter in your life, you will never move into the new chapter that God has for your life. Come on, that's a good time to give him a praise. You will never be the real me that he has called you to be. Listen to this. So, make the change. Number one, you got to get closer to God. You say, well, how can I do that? Somebody told me this years ago, you're as close to God as you want to be. And some of those little phrases like that, they're just irritating, but they're so true. The Bible says in James 4:8, come close to God and God will come close to you. You've got to move in that direction through prayer, through worship, through devotion, through fellowship, through hearing God's word. And when he nudges you in an area that may be uncomfortable, instead of you saying, not now, you just open up your heart and say, come on in, Jesus. I'll do it. I'll obey you. And obey him, even when it feels uncomfortable, even when you don't really like it. You don't think it's good. You know, a few weeks ago, I did the pastor's Bible study on Monday nights where, you know, we're still doing it, but I'm sitting in there, and one of the guys in the class, Art Nicometto, he's talking about this book all the time, The Bait of Satan, The Bait of Satan, The Bait of Satan, how God used that, how he helped. And I'm sitting there in that class one night, and I'm teaching it, and he's got this little side class going over here with two or three guys that are struggling with unforgiveness, and he's speaking, and I feel the Lord, instead of me, you know, getting all, it's my class, you're going to listen to me, I just let him go. And then I felt God say, let him teach that. He was beside himself. Am I telling it right, Art? He didn't know. He's like, I was just all uptight. But he said, I knew God wanted me to do it, but I just didn't know. Now, I think he's 3 weeks in. He's like a machine in that outback. Come on. He's helping people get free. How? By when God nudges you, say, I want you to do this, instead of saying, I can't do that. Art's an electrician. He's the best electrician. He's not been to Bible college or seminary or cemetery. But you know what? When you respond to God, he anoints your life to do what you never thought possible could happen in your life. Come on, say amen to that today. Now, secondly, if you're going to become the you that he has called you to be, you got to connect with others. And God will never cause you to walk alone. If you are a loner, I want to bring some news to you today. You need to get with other people. And it's not always easy, and it's not always fun. When we started City Church, I talked to some great friends, and we were just talking one day, and they said, we do life together. I think that, and I'm like, whoa, that's good. I like that. And when everything goes great, I love that. But when the duty hits the fan, booty, it started with Erin up here in the first service. She was praying and a rhyme just came to her. When the hard times come, it's not so easy, but God still says, do life together. You need one another. That's why James, again, in 5:6, confess your sins, not in a closet, but to one another. And pray so that you can be healed. Old Buck Betters used to tell me this. He said, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with others. I'm sure he got it from somebody else. Three, you got to discover your purposes and passion, not someone else's purpose and passion for you. And sometimes God will help you to understand it through a moment of change coming in your life. Now listen, if I ask people here today, how many of you just love change? Some of you would throw your hand up. But you're lying. Because when you are really positioned for that life change that is coming to your life, it's like getting pulled through a knot hole. And most people don't like it. But do you know that the change that God brings to you sometimes helps you to discover who you really are? Some of the hardest moments in my life, in my family's life, is when we had to make a change. And it started with me. Dads, it's going to start with you. I remember when God moved us, he said, it's time for you to leave. It's time for you to go. When we went to Seattle, Washington, I thought, man, this is going to be great. It was the hardest time of our lives. And I remember coming back, and I remember, you know, just kind of, I didn't want to start any church. I really didn't. I never wanted to do this. But God, he put it together, and we started. You know what? Through that change that was so hard in our life, it's developed into something more. Not only the church and what God is doing with the body of Christ, but even in my own particular family. I wouldn't have the daughter-in-laws today that I have. I wouldn't have the grandkids that I have today if it wasn't for me going through the pain of that change. And for some of you, you resist that change. You put your heels in the dirt and say, I'm not going. And all the time God is saying, would you let me lead you and guide you? Because at the end of this process, I'm going to release something beautiful in your life. And just because it doesn't work the way you want it to work does not mean it's bad. Galatians 6, 3 and 4, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they just deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, and then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. Don't go through life. Learn to grow through your life. And then last, engage in doing something greater than just living for yourself. This is so important. Ephesians 2:10, in the message, God creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work that he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work he had better be doing, we had better be doing. You see, when I dedicate myself to do something beyond me, and I pray this morning that when you saw the promotion up there for the Los Angeles Dream Center, there was a seed that dropped into somebody's heart. Is it a 5-star hotel you'd be staying in? No. Is the food there perfect? No. Is it easy and just, they showed pictures of the beach and the birds flying? Yeah, you'll see that, but you'll also see the broken. And once you get a smell of Skid Row, it never leaves your mind and your life. It'll impact you in a way that you have never been impacted before. Some of you need to do that. Some of you have spent your life living for you. And God says you'll never discover the life that he has until you begin to live beyond yourself and live for the calling that God has. Listen, I can't go back and change my beginning, but I can start where I am and change my ending. Amen. Come on, how many of you want to do that today? I want those that are going to help with communion if you just come right now. And when you receive the cup and the bread, just hold it. If you've never given your life to Christ, do it right now. Just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Live in me. I want to be who you've created and called me to be. I want to live for you all the days of my life. When you do that, he comes in. He changes you. He begins to move in your heart and move in your life. And he does something beautiful that you could never imagine. Let him have his way in your life today. When you receive the cup and the bread, just hold it. And we'll all partake of it together this morning. I thank God for you. When you receive it, just hold it and bow your head. Close your eyes. Ask God to do something great inside of you. Ask him to help with you just trying to be something that you're not, or worrying about what somebody thinks or what they don't think. Let him have his way in your life today. Moms and dads in your home and your family, maybe the Lord is wanting to change some things up. And he doesn't want to change who you're married to today. Maybe he wants to change a husband to love his wife like Christ loved the church. Maybe a wife to love her husband like she's never loved him before. Kids, if you go home and begin to serve your mom and dad, you could put them in the hospital, but you could change the course of their lives. Just when you receive the cup and the bread, hold it. We'll partake together. And just bow your head and just talk to him just a minute. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord God. Beautiful moment in God's house today. Beautiful, beautiful moment in God's house. You're here today and you're sick in your body, you're hurting, something is going on inside of you. Ask him when you partake of the communion, when we do together in just a moment. Ask him to touch you, ask him to heal your body. So when you receive the cup and the bread, hold it, we'll all partake together. Father, I pray that you're going to release something great over many lives today. You help those that have been lost, hurting. Thank you, Jesus. Has everyone been served? If you were missed and you want to be served, put your hand up way high in the air so we can serve you. Wonderful. Lose all their guilt and stains. Thank you, God, for washing us and making us new and helping us to be that individual that you have called us and set us apart to be. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the night, and the Bible says, in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, he blessed it, he gave thanks for it. He said, "This is my body, which has been broken. As often as you eat it, remember what I have done for you at the cross." Father, we remember the sacrifice that was paid, and we're so grateful for that today. As we partake of the bread, the body of the Lord Jesus, we recommit and submit our lives completely over to the Lordship of Jesus. Let's all partake of the bread together. Thank you, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that if there is any sick that are here today, that as we partake of the cup together, healing would flow as it did that same day at Calvary's cross. Jesus said, in the same way he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood, this is the New Testament, the New Covenant. When you drink it, remember what I have done for you." God, I thank you that your blood was shed to take away the sin of the world, to take away our old nature, our old way of wanting what we want when we want it, and healing our bodies. We thank you for it. Let's partake of the cup together. Prayer people, come to the altar, please. Thank you, Lord. May your grace, may your favor, may your life and your love rest upon every household here today. I give you praise and I give you thanks for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody agrees and said amen. Amen. Love one another today. You got the prayer team down here. If you need prayer today for anything, come down. Let them pray over you. Love one another on the way out. Maybe, and don't forget tomorrow, take some time and honor those who have given everything for you and I. I love you. God bless you today.